Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us for the second hour of the show on this fine day in America. We are and should be proud Americans. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to meet combat vet Mike Kuiska and discuss his book on Iraq. Then we'll look at last weekend's Service Academy football games, and General Chris Petty will review the Battle of the Month. So, it's a pleasure for me to introduce Marine vet Mike Kuiska. Mike was a machine gunner, a prison guard in Iraq. His book, Lessons from Iraq, is a comprehensive and it's emotional, and there's a lot to learn from it. It was a good book. Welcome, Mike. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Danny.
Mike, start by telling us when and why you joined the Marines.
I was 18 years old. I just graduated high school, and I was looking to change my life around a little bit. I was not what you'd call like a quintessential Marine. I didn't know anyone who were Marines. My family aren't military members or anything like that. So I signed up as a reserve 2 months before 9/11. And then that just kind of changed my destiny there when those attacks happened.
Well, I relate to you. I'm the first person in my direct line to ever wear a military uniform. So I know what you're talking about. Okay. Well, obviously, whether you volunteered or not, you ended up in Iraq. What kind of preparation did you have to go there?
I was pretty green. I didn't have much. It was just a few months after I got done with basic training in MP school. My unit got called up. We got sent to Kuwait to await the order. That was in February of 2003. And then it was just a few weeks after that, we got the order to invade Iraq. I didn't know much of what I was doing yet. I had some really nasty experiences early on that I had to overcome. But eventually, over time, I found my footing and became a solid Marine.
Okay. You know, that means that sounds like you're a normal human being.
Yeah. I'm not a super soldier or anything like that. And I'm happy that I became a solid Marine and that guys could rely on me in my unit. But that's just as good as I ever was.
Well, on the other hand, that's what it takes for a military unit to be effective, doesn't it? Everybody doing the best they can.
I think that's the only way. When you get those chaotic environments, you just need people around you that you can trust do their job.
Yeah, that's it. Exactly. Okay. Talk to us about your time in Iraq. What was it like?
It was very chaotic. There's a couple of different phases, so things changed a little bit. Early on during the invasion, it was just kind of the Wild West. We were just kind of roaming around, doing whatever came our way. Got into a couple of scrapes that were kind of nasty. There's wreckage and chaos kind of all over the place, and no one really knew what was going to come out of it. A year later, when I was in Ramadi, things were actually a lot more dangerous. The enemy had kind of consolidated in certain regions of the country. We had a lot of insurgency. We had, you know, people coming in from Syria and from other areas around the Middle East that were coming for holy war and things like that. Yeah, I mean, I'd say my tour in Ramadi was much worse. We felt like we were going to get hit every time we left base. We had to deal with IEDs, obviously. We had indirect fire all the time, mortars and rocket attacks. And then once in a while, you'd get ambushed or something on the road, too. Yeah, I did not expect to live to be 21 years old.
Well, but obviously you snuck by and did it. You know, and this is not surprising. You know, the first, when initial combat, everybody's sort of confused on both sides. By the time a year or so has passed, both sides have gotten organized and know what they're doing to try to take out the other side. And that, as you pointed out, can be a whole heck of a lot more dangerous. This is a tough time. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with Marine combat vet and author Mike Kuiska. Mike, what made you decide to want to write a book? You had interesting, different experiences. What came on you to do that? Or do you know, just suddenly you needed to do it?
I think it kind of evolved over time. I think I had read a fair amount of the material from Iraq. I'd read a fair amount of material from other wars, from different authors. And I felt like I had a lot of experiences that were pretty common to a lot of Marines and soldiers that just weren't being talked about. So I really wanted to dive into like real specific things that kids experience when they're over there. And maybe that's another avenue too. Like I said before, I wasn't like a super soldier or anything. I was a kid. I was 19 when I went. And so much of our forces are just like that. You know, guys right out of high school, going over there doing the best that they can. And that story doesn't really get told very often. So I felt like that was something I could add to as well.
So you were out of the service when you decided to write this. Did I read you right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. And you knew a lot of people. And did you do a lot of research by getting back in touch with guys, or did you just build off what you'd lived through?
It was a mix of things. I kept really solid journals. So for my personal experiences, that's how I was able to keep a lot of those details. But also, yeah, I talked to a lot of guys that I served with, and I talked to a lot of Marines and soldiers from other units just to kind of fact check myself and make sure that I wasn't misremembering anything. And then I did just tons and tons of legwork going through government documents and things like that, just to and histories and stuff to kind of put together the other pieces of the war.
Can you take a couple of minutes right now and give an example of one of the hot in your memory things that you included in the book?
You mean from like a historical sense or from like a personal sense?
A personal experience.
Okay, just an example. So I think a lot of people talk about the adrenaline rush that comes from being in a gunfight. And that's a very real thing. Like it like totally changes your physiology. You're like buzzing. You feel like you can fly. I don't think I've ever really heard people talk about the crash that comes afterwards. Like as high as you get in combat, at least for me, as soon as that combat was over and as soon as my body was starting to get rid of those chemicals and emotions, like it was really, really difficult. Like the night after a gunfight with the adrenaline crash, just like you have the opposite feelings, just sheer terror that you have to get up and go do the thing again the next day. So just those kinds of moments that you don't really hear about, I think are important for people to hear.
You know, that's a very valid point. And you're right. I don't know that I've ever had anybody talk about that. There's two sides to everything, isn't there? Okay. Talk to us about your book. How can listeners buy a copy? How can they access it? How can they touch base with you?
You can find it on Amazon. Just type in Mike Kubista or Lessons from Iraq. It should come up.
Spell your last name. It's Mike.
Kubista.
Okay. So Google that or the name of the book is...
If you Google that or go to Amazon, you'll be able to find it.
The title of the book is Lessons from Iraq.
Yeah.
And it's an incredibly, I don't know what the right word is, interesting, moving, appropriate book. Are you available to talk with people, or is that something that you're not into right now?
Well, I did a big Facebook page a while back that was showing pictures from the war from guys that I knew. So you can find that at author.mike.kubista on Facebook.
Okay.
If you want to look at that, I also have some excerpts from the book on there if you want to take a look.
Sounds good. We got time for you to make a final comment. What would you like our listeners to remember most about our conversation right now?
Well, I think there's a lot of stuff that people don't know about the Iraq War. Something that dawned on me, I remember a moment when I was in a chow hall in Ramadi. I was talking to a soldier that had just come from the first battle of Fallujah. He'd just been on the street. We were talking in chow hall. And then there was a news broadcast that went on, like right he left, and the news broadcast came on. It was talking about the battle of Fallujah. And I remember sitting there watching this highly produced thing and watching, you know, their smooth clips and all these things going on. And then they started talking, and every word they said was not what that kid just told me he was on the lines. It was not what I'd been briefed on. It's not what I've seen when I'd driven through Fallujah myself. And it dawned on me as a very young man that people back home are not getting real information about stuff like that. I think there's a lot of stories about what happened in Iraq now that are politically driven. And I think it's a disservice to the people that served over there. There's a lot of people that did a lot of really hard things to try to help people out of a very bad situation under the old regime. And that part of it has gotten lost. And it makes me sad to see how hard that has hit some of the most honorable people that I've known.
Well said, brother. Thank you, Mike. Thanks for sharing with us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. Thank you for this great book. God bless you, brother.
All right. Thanks, Denny.
Next, we'll review last weekend's Service Academy football games. This is Colonel Denny Gillen on Frontlines of Freedom. It's time to do some knee bends. Troops go halfway down each time. Do at least 50. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back. Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code.
Veterans swore an oath to defend this country, and that oath doesn't expire when we take off the uniform.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and military families the opportunity to continue serving their country by taking on the most important issues our country is facing.
A better foreign policy, quality health care for veterans, responsible spending, and more.
Learn more about how you can play a part by visiting CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com.
Thanks for joining us today. This is Colonel Danny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and it's Service Academy football time. So, of course, I'm joined by our football co-host, Air Force vet Quentin Roberts. Welcome, bro.
Hey, Danny. It's good to be here with you, even though the Falcons really struggled against the Baylor Bears.
They did. Army and Navy took the week off, so there wasn't any. And Coast Guard and Merchant Marine won, but Air Force really got hurt. That was a tough game to watch.
Danny, it was. And it was an interesting game because really, and here's the irony of it. I saw progress in the Air Force offense from what I've seen in weeks one and two. Air Force kept the game close in the first half as they traveled to Waco, Texas to take on the, at the time, the 1-1, now 2-1 Baylor Bears. It was a nice turnout of Air Force fans. And Air Force responded by really playing tough and gaining three turnovers from Baylor in the first half. And at the half, the score was only Baylor 6, Air Force 3. But with those three turnovers, only scoring 3 points was an ominous sight for the Falcons. And in the second half, Baylor kind of looked up and said, I think we're bigger and faster than these guys. Why is it only 6-3? And proceeded to score 17 unanswered points in the third, tacked on another 8 in the fourth for a final tally of 31-3.
Ouch.
Air Force was led in rushing by senior wide receiver Cade Harris with 71 yards rushing. And the Falcons, again, were able to keep it close in the first half. But like I said, Baylor just exploded in the third quarter with a 17 points and added on another 8 in the fourth to total 31 points. They scored the first points of the game utilizing a block punt to get a field goal to go up 3-0. The Falcon defense then kept the Baylor offense at bay, forcing a 3-and-out on the next possession. The defense forced and recovered 3 Bear fumbles in its next 4 possessions to keep the game close. Air Force got on the board with Matt DePore's field goal that capped a 16-play, 65-yard drive that took 9 minutes and 1 second off the clock, again showing that Air Force can actually move the ball when they are very precise. When we look at the total, it was all Baylor, 478 total yards of offense to Air Force's 218. Passing, they had another 248 and rushing 230. A real balanced attack. For Air Force, 193 on the ground and just 25 in the air. When you're struggling on the ground and you don't have an air attack, that's not a good sign for the offense. Air Force, surprisingly though, did hold the ball for 34 minutes to Baylor's 26 minutes. Turnovers Air Force has to cut down on, as well as moving the ball more in order to even have a chance at salvaging their season. So Air Force falls at Baylor 31-3.
Indeed. Now that said, Coast Guard won 52-45 over Anna Maria College. And that was an overtime.
Talk about a real barn burner there, Denny. You're right. At Anna Maria, 55-42 in overtime, as the Coast Guard Bears moved to 2-0 on the season. I mean, Coast Guard amassed 685 total yards, 423 through the air, 262 on the ground, while Anna Maria had 618, 432 through the air, 186 on the ground. but it was the Bears who were able to pull it out in overtime. At the end of four quarters, they were tied at 45, and it was Coast Guard who was able to break through and with the run, and the defense held in order to keep Anna Maria at 45. So, you know, great game for the Coast Guard Bears.
They did well. And Merchant Marine beat Gauntlet 55-7. That was more like a track meet.
Yeah, I tell you what, another offensive explosion as they traveled to Maryland to play Gallaudet, and it was over early. It was 27-0 at the half. Effectively, the game was over. But Merchant Marine added another 28 in the second half, 21 of those in the fourth quarter to just win in a runaway 55-7. So they moved to 2-0 on the season. Gallaudet fell to 0-2 on the season. So the Mariners move on as they are in search of that perfect season.
You know, isn't it normal when you're that far ahead that everybody on the bench gets to play in the last couple of quarters?
Everybody plays, Denny. Yeah. even the coach might even suit up and go back in when you win it like that. But yes, hats off to them. You know, again, both they and Coast Guard are really off to a great 2-0 start.
They are. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking Service Academy football. Now, this weekend, while Air Force has a bye, Army hosts Rice and Navy plays at Memphis, right?
No, Navy hosts Memphis. They host Memphis. Okay. And Army hosts Rice. You know, I told someone earlier in the season, and I may have told you, that Army could be undefeated going into the Notre Dame game November 23rd. They are leading the nation in rushing right now, and they are favored to defeat Rice. They're favored by at least a touchdown. Yeah, by a touchdown over them. And they are really playing good football. The defense is playing strong. The offensive running attack is eating up the clock. And by eating up the clock, you're able to shorten the game, limit possessions. As long as you stay away from turnovers and penalties, the other team is difficult for them to get into a rhythm. And so Army's defense is fresh and able to stop their opposing teams. And, you know, and it equals victory after victory after victory. The Army Black Knights are rolling right now. Now, Navy hosts Memphis. Now, this is going to be a tough game. Memphis is coming off a big win over Florida State Seminoles down in Tallahassee, and they have sights on going to the NCAA playoff. If they're able to run the table, they will likely be the highest ranked non-Power Four team, which gets an automatic berth into the playoff now. So Memphis is favored by 10 over Navy. I think Navy is 3-6 against Navy, or 3-5 against Memphis over the past few years. They started off winning the first three against them since they've been in the AAC, but Memphis has rattled off the last five. Memphis is looking strong. They've got a strong quarterback, but Navy is playing good football. They're coming off the bye. I'm sure they're going to have Memphis scouted up very well and really are going to give Memphis a great game. This should be a good one.
I agree. Coast Guard will be playing Nicholas College. Any insights on that one?
They play Nicholas College. Nicholas, I believe, is 1-2. So I expect Coast Guard to keep putting up another 50 points on them. They're a high-flying outfit, and I expect it to keep rolling.
And I think Merchant Marine is off. I think they have a bye.
That's correct. They do have a bye. So they get to put their put the guns down for a moment because they're high-flying too. So
they
get to refuel.
Thank you, Quentin. This is fun. We'll be back at it again next week. Blessings, brother.
And to you and yours, Denny, and to our listeners. Thanks to all of them for tuning in. Always a pleasure.
Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, General Chris Petty will present the Battle of the Month. They will open our weekly mailbag. Troops, I hope you're giving serious thoughts to buying gold and silver to keep your future more secure. Check out Universal Coin. That's where I go. Check universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Just do a dozen with each arm twice. To take a break but stay in the area, I'll be right back.
Fresh, flash, frozen from the American farmer every time. PatriotFoods.com, hit the Shop Now button. You're supporting a veteran family in need every time you shop. Look at us online, see how we give back. for the servicemen and women of this great country. We are fighting for the American farmer. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM, 10% off today, folks. Shop now.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. I buy Patriot Foods. It's great. PatriotFoods.com, promo code FREEDOM.
HealthVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HealthVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HealthVet.net. Visit HealthVet.net for all your family's needs.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, I really do welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. And troops, it's now time for the Battle of the Month. So, of course, joining me is General Chris Petty. Welcome back, bro. Thanks for being a great member of the team.
Always a pleasure, Denny. Glad to be with you.
Chris, take a minute and give us a quick review of your time in Mother Army.
Okay. Graduated from West Point way back in 1987. Branched aviation. Did all the good aviation stuff, you know, company commander and all that great stuff. And got out of the active duty force because the Cold War was over. It looked kind of boring. Joined the Guard, became a full-time guardsman eventually. Commanded a battalion, took it to Iraq, supported some special operations stuff during the surge. Then moved on to brigade command. And lo and behold, after all that, they offer me a star. And I go to Bosnia as the commander. And then I'm on the Army staff. And then I'm in NORTHCOM. So fantastic, interesting, satisfying career.
Good. And somehow through all of that, you got really interested in history of battles.
Yes.
So take us to the Battle of the Month for this month. It's a Civil War battle, isn't it?
That's right. It's the famous Battle of Antietam, and it happened on 17 September of 1862. So it's always nice when we can match a battle to the actual month that it is. So now this one is a classic. This one is a big part of American history. I always start with why we should know a battle, and this one kind of speaks for itself because I would argue that Gettysburg and Antietam are the most famous battles of the Civil War. So this is one that everyone should just have some familiarity with.
Yep.
But it also, as you know, was the bloodiest day in American military history, even to this day, because over 23,000 soldiers were killed or wounded on that single day. Not the bloodiest battle in American history, but the bloodiest day. And it still holds the record. But more importantly, for history, it was a turning point battle. Even though it was a tactical draw, as we'll talk about in a second, it really stopped Lee's first invasion of the North. And because of that, it became a turning point in the momentum of the Civil War. So it discouraged European intervention in our war and gave Lincoln the confidence to issue the Emancipation Proclamation, giving the Civil War that real moral element instead of just a fight of separation. It became a fight of, you know, freedom for mankind. So that's why it's important to know it. So let's dive in. Why did it happen? Why did Lee decide to invade? Well, back in September of 62, the Confederacy had the momentum. They had just won the second Bull Run campaign. Union forces were on the defensive. Even in the West, although Grant had a victory at Shiloh, a very costly, bloody one, because Grant was not yet the commander out west, the Confederates still had the initiative. So they really wanted to build on the momentum. And Lee thought, let's invade. We can take the pressure off Virginia and Richmond. We can forage in the North because, you know, the South was always a little more pressed for food supplies and things. We can possibly have Maryland citizens rally to the Confederate flag and we can gain European support. So there was his reasons. So Lee takes his army north on 4 September. He's going to go and invade and do damage and threaten cities and stuff in the north. So he ends up dividing his army because the federal forts at Harper's Ferry and Martinsburg didn't just kind of run away like Lee thought. So he divides his army. Now, McClellan is the Union commander at this point. He gets word of the invasion. He's a really tentative, hesitant commander, very cautious. He moves slowly. So that's why. Now, Lee moves his forces north on 4 September. He thinks the federal garrisons at Harper's Ferry and Martinsburg are going to just kind of retreat in the face of this large Confederate army, which is about 38,000 troops in total. But they don't. So he's got to divide his army to take these two federal strong points. When he does that, he's vulnerable. Now, McClellan, even though he's a really cautious, slow-moving commander, starts moving to intercept Lee's army, of course. Funny thing is McClellan intercepts Lee's full operations order, so he knows exactly what Lee's going to do. So he really has an advantage here, which he fails to press sufficiently. Anyway, so he moves towards Lee's army. Lee knows he's coming now. He's feverishly trying to get his army back together quickly because he knows the Union force, which outnumbers him, is coming. So Lee settles on defensive terrain at a famous creek called Antietam Creek by Sharpsburg, and he sets up his defense. So McClellan's coming towards him. Now, Lee is trying to assemble his army. McClellan gives him enough time, unfortunately, to do most of it. He attacks. Then the battle itself is kind of like a three-part battle. It's all uncoordinated attacks. He starts in the north. He gets repulsed. Then it flows to the center, and then it flows to the south, kind of the left flank of the Confederate, the center, and then the right flank of the Confederacy. Burnside plays a role in this battle. He's on the south. And just when Burnside is about to roll up the flank, although he takes way too long, then Longstreet's army comes over the hill and, you know, down the road, and they interdict and they stop the entire Union assault on Confederate right flank, and the fighting kind of dies out and it's a draw. And Lee has to retreat the following day, and so the invasion's over. So that is the battle in a nutshell. I know we can't go into all the detail, but McClellan failed to pursue. McClellan, even though it's a draw, it is a strategic win for the North, as we talked about, but it's a bloody battle. It's close range fighting. It's lines of men shooting at each other, big volleys, and it drops a lot of soldiers. So it was quite a horrific battle, but a significant strategic success for the North.
Which goes to show you that most generals aren't perfect. And even the ones not so good, if they stick to it, they can be successful.
Yeah.
Because I guess both generals were successful to a degree.
Yeah. I mean, McClellan is an inferior general to Lee at this point. There's no question about Lee's ability to fight outnumbered and use his interior lines to fight separate battles throughout the day. And McClellan gives him the opportunity to do that. So Lee holds off this larger Union force. So he's very good at this stuff. McClellan's not. But it could have been a really decisive victory, but it wasn't because of McClellan.
And there we are. It happened again. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking with General Chris Petty. Chris, we've got time. Talk to us about Battle Digest. That's a really important option available to our listeners.
Yeah, Battle Digest is my passion now, as I'm a retired military officer, understanding that we are losing our concept of history. So I wanted to make it simple. So I publish a wonderful trifold brochure. I say brochure, but it's 8.5 by 11. It's got three pages that fold out. And it summarizes all these historical battles with beautiful maps and pictures. And you really know what happened after a 30-minute read. So go to battledigest.com and subscribe, and I'll send you one every quarter. Or go and order my book, because I put 12 of them in there that every American should know. So it's worth a look, battledigest.com.
And I certainly encourage you to do it, because all of us need to know our history, or we're doomed to repeat it. And it seems that there's no shortage of wars. We are continuing to have them. So let me strongly encourage Battle Digest. Chris, thank you. Thank you for your great review of some cool history. Thanks for being a member of the Frontlines of Freedom team. Thanks for being a good friend.
Always a pleasure, Danny. Thank you.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Let's do some more push-ups. How about 64 this time? I want your Ranger ready. Then stand at ease. Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation, and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Frontlines of Freedom. I do some coin collecting. Universal Coin was the dealer of the year for the American Numismatic Association. It's a great place to go for coins and a really great place to go to purchase silver and gold. That's what I do. I encourage you to go to universalcoin.com/Denny. That's universalcoin.com/Denny. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. What's the first one, Skip?
Well, Colonel Scott, an Air Force vet, was outraged by the way the media worked to make Kamala look good at her debate with Trump. She lied nonstop, but the media people never challenged her. We don't need anyone with her values as our commander-in-chief.
Scott, you spoke exactly how I feel. Our nation needs a commander-in-chief that other nations will respect and who will not repeat all the horrible errors Mr. Biden has committed on our military.
And Suzanne, who has several kids serving in our military now, is outraged by the blatant lies she keeps hearing about President Trump. Some even played during your show. The 2025 Project has never been something Trump has advocated or supported, and he says so regularly, as do those who know him. And Kamala approves these lies. Thank you for speaking the truth on your show.
Suzanne, you're right. Please continue to share your perspectives. Those lies are indeed playing during our show on many stations. And now it's time for military history. What's first, Skip?
Well, Colonel, on 23 September 1779, during the American Revolution, the U.S. ship Bonhomme Richard, commanded by John Paul Jones, won a hard-fought engagement against the British ships of war Serapis and Countess of Scarborough off the eastern coast of England.
And on September 23, 1917, during World War I, the German flying ace Werner Voss was shot down and killed during a dogfight with the British pilots on the skies over Belgium on the Western Front. After serving as a wingman to Manfred von Richthofen, the ace pilot later known as the Red Baron, Voss quickly established a reputation as a leading pilot in his own right and a rival to Richthofen. By May 1917, Voss had amassed 28 victories in the air, earning the prestigious Port de Mer Award.
And on 26 September 1918, during World War I, the Imperial German Navy's submarine UB-91 torpedoed and sank our Coast Guard cutter Tampa, which was escorting a convoy bound for Milford Haven, Wales, with all hands. 111 Coast Guardsmen, as well as 4 U.S. Navy, 11 Royal Navy, and 5 civilian passengers were killed. The bodies of 2 of the Coast Guard crew were recovered and buried in a small church in Lamphy, Pembrokeshire, Wales, Great Britain. One body was returned to the family in the U.S., after the war, while one, who was never identified, is still interred in Lamphies Churchyard to this day. Local residents continue to care for the grave.
That's awesome. And on 27 September 1938, President Franklin Roosevelt wrote to German Chancellor Adolf Hitler regarding the threat of war in Europe. The German Chancellor had been threatening to invade the Sudetenland of Czechoslovakia, and in the letter, his second to Hitler as many days, Roosevelt reiterated the need to find a peaceful resolution to the issue. Didn't work.
And on 27 September 1940, the Axis powers were formed as Germany, Italy, and Japan became allies with the signing of the Tripartite Pact in Berlin. The pact provided for mutual assistance should any of the signatories suffer attack by any nation not already involved in the war. This formalizing of the alliance was aimed directly at neutral America, designed to force us to think twice before venturing in on the side of the Allies. Apparently it worked. We didn't enter the war until we were attacked ourselves at Pearl Harbor.
And on September 24th, 1941, during World War II, but before we got formally involved, the Japanese Council in Hawaii was instructed to divide Pearl Harbor into five zones and to calculate the number of battleships in each zone and report the findings back to Japan. Relations between the U.S. and Japan had been deteriorating quickly since Japan's occupation of Indochina and the implicit menacing of the Philippines, an American protectorate. American retaliation included the seizing of all Japanese assets in the States and the closing of the Panama Canal to Japanese shipping. In September 1941, Roosevelt issued a statement drafted by Prime Minister Winston Churchill of Britain that threatened war between the U.S. and Japan should Japanese encroach any further on territory in Southeast Asia or the South Pacific.
And on 26 September 1950, during the Korean War, the USS Brush struck a free-floating mine and 13 sailors were killed and 34 others seriously wounded. This was the first incident of a U.S. Navy ship hitting a mine during the Korean War.
And that's military history for today. What would you do if you were forced to defend yourself or your family? These situations can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. In addition to being the worst day of your life, you can face a large amount of legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there'll almost always be an investigation, and you could find yourself in a legal system. That's just the way the law works. This is why U.S. Law Shield was formed. They're here to help people who through events who never thought they would happen to them. With their legal defense for self-defense programs, experienced attorneys are always ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To learn more or to begin your membership today, go to uslawshield.com and use the promo code FRONTLINES. And now it's time for our self-defense report. Take us there, Skip.
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom believe strongly in your right to keep and bear arms for protection of yourself and your family. All across the country, violent crime is skyrocketing, and now more than ever, Americans need to stand up and exercise their Second Amendment rights. Now is the time to get trained and ready to handle this growing threat. But if you're not, please look into it and learn what you can do to legally carry a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, in a shopping mall in Casper, Wyoming, two teenage girls were being followed and harassed by two teenage boys. So the girls called their 14-year-old friend, Robert Maher, who then went to the mall to help them escape the harassment. The two 15-year-old boys who were harassing the girls then attacked Maher at the entrance to the shopping mall and stabbed him to death. The boy died at the scene, and the two attackers were charged with first-degree murder, a felony punishable by death or life imprisonment.
Thanks, Colonel. This story is so sad that it's difficult for me to talk about on the air. It affects me profoundly and personally simply because I have a 14-year-old son, and I can't imagine what it would feel like to lose him to a senseless murder like this one. I could spend my time discussing how our society got so messed up. However, that wouldn't help you protect and defend your kids. Instead, I'm going to give you some good parental advice that you can pass on to your own children that just might save their lives. First, you have to keep an open line of communication with your kids, and that means you have to be involved in every facet of their lives. Don't get so caught up in work that you miss what's happening in your own family. This 14-year-old girl sensed she was in trouble, but instead of calling her parents, she called another kid, a 14-year-old friend that really had no idea how to protect her. The result was a senseless murder, and now she'll blame herself for the rest of her life. Talk to your kids every day. Don't neglect your parenting duties. Kids these days act grown up and capable, but they don't have the wisdom, experience, or skill set to deal with life or death situations like this one. And second, don't let 14-year-olds go to the mall by themselves. It's just not safe anymore. They could be attacked, kidnapped, raped, or robbed. 20 years ago, it wasn't so bad, but now, well, you just can't do that anymore. You don't have to hover over your kids nonstop, but you do have to protect them and teach them what to do in a case like this. And finally, if this happens to your own children in any scenario, tell them to immediately call 911 and ask for help. The police will respond within 5 to 20 minutes. I know that's a long time, so once they call 911, then have them go into a public store and tell the workers there what's going on. They can call security, who will be on the scene within minutes. Then the kids should call you and tell you what's going on. If the young girl had done any of these things, her friend would probably still be alive, and the police would have picked up the two 15-year-olds who were illegally carrying concealed weapons, in this case knives, that they'd stolen from a store inside the mall. They would have been arrested and the situation defused. Please talk to your kids about this so they know what to do. This is a sad outcome, and Frontlines of Freedom wishes it had turned out better for everyone involved. And we wish the parents of the murdered boy all the best as they grieve the loss of their son. He had a good heart, but he just didn't know the best way to handle the situation.
Amen. Our movie of the month is The Neighbor's Window. You can go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link and watch it for free. I'd appreciate getting your comments on the movie. Send your comments to me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Representative Gary Reschenauer from Pennsylvania will discuss his service in the Navy and what's happening in our nation now. Football co-host Quentin Roberts will have a special guest to discuss football. Then we'll discuss this weekend's Service Academy football games, and Diane Raver will present the movie of the month. Our book, Frontlines of Freedom, with 19 authors, has the mission of helping all patriotic Americans step up and help our nation return to our traditional values of serving, not being served, of being in shape physically, mentally, and morally, of being proud of our nation. And it's now available in Spanish. You can purchase that book on frontlinesoffreedom.com or Amazon. Please help us get this call to action book into the hands of all Americans. And do get active in correcting our nation. Plug into Concerned Veterans for America. Go to cvafrontlines.com. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the front lines of freedom. Stand tall, be proud, Americans, and join me next week for military and veteran information you will not get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.